Hey everybody, it's Johnny B. Truant here with a true celebrity in the badass universe, AJ Brockman. The cool thing about AJ is, in addition to what he's doing now, is he was a big part of the Jerry Lewis telethon. I mean, since what, the age you were two, you were essentially appearing as part of that, is that correct?
Yeah, definitely, as long as I can remember, for sure.
How did you get that, how did you get that gig?
Well, I think it originally started as a cute kid in a wheelchair. I know that sounds horrible, but I think that's really what got my foot in the door. And I was asked to be a Goodwill ambassador for MDA, and did that for probably about 5 years. And then after that, I kind of just was involved with the local part of the newscast of the telethon up until about 18. So, yeah, that was definitely a big part of my life for a while.
Yeah, if you Google AJ Brockman, you will find videos of AJ from every age.
For sure.
Yeah, so I mean, it's fun. Like you'll see, it's like you said, the cute kid in the wheelchair. That is an odd expression, but at first you do see it's six wheeling around in the chair, and then all the way up, they did a piece with you like at camp and all this stuff.
Definitely. Yeah, it was, like I said, it was a good, great experience in my life. I mean, The definite summer camp was probably the highlight of the year. I mean, they do a lot of good work, and not to mention the research end of it. But I was fortunate enough to have my my childhood documented well. Yeah.
So, in case that's not obvious, working with the MDA telethon, you have muscular dystrophy, and actually on your site, I didn't realize. You, specifically spinal muscular atrophy, which we are incredibly popular in the SMA community for some reason.
For sure.
Martin Sibley and John Morrow and Jessica Blinkhorn and whether like Toby was SMA. So for some reason we seem to be popular in this community. Tell me about your experience post-telethon.
Yeah, I mean, like, as far as, clarify that for me. There's a lot going on post-telethon.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. One of the videos that I found was the news station in your area when you originally graduated and were hired by the design studio, and you continue to work now. If you go to, singlehandedstudio.com?
Yeah, singlehandedstudio.com, definitely. I can kind of fill in the gaps now. I actually, like you said, post-telethon, middle school, graduated and high school, top of my class, always had a real, passion for the arts, was introduced to a class in high school, actually, called commercial art technology, which was what graphic design was referred to back in the day, and I still like to call myself a commercial artist because everybody else is a graphic designer. But I graduated top of my class, went on to college, graduated again, valedictorian from college. So, education and hard work, perseverance, that's always super important to me. And I graduated with a degree, an actual BFA in arts, a Bachelor of Fine Arts, and went on to work for a design firm, Vision House, which was what that piece you're referring to is. And it was a good experience. Worked there for about 3 years. Really enjoyed it, but there was always something missing. Like, I always had some, art director standing over my shoulder or telling me what I needed to do or fix the type here or make this color that, when I knew that, that really wasn't the best direction for the project in my eyes, just because the client says, let's change it, doesn't really mean that it's for the best. So I started doing this digital painting and design that I liked and that I wanted to do on the side, and it kind of blossomed into what you said was Single-Handed Studio.
Well, I'm looking at some of the stuff now, and it's amazing. Like the stuff that you're able to do in a digital environment with a painting is really Very, very cool. I would encourage everybody to go check it out. How did you refine that technique? I mean, I guess it makes sense to me because a traditional painter would paint with a brush and work over time, and I guess it's the same, but I mean, does it work pretty much the same way?
Yeah, it actually really does. I mean, the advances in technology and computer software have been so great that it really allows me to move forward. Like I was saying earlier, in high school and in middle school, I still had some use of my hands, as I'm sure you know the story with SMA. That's kind of how it goes,
mm-hmm.
That it's progressive. But anyway, I was doing, you know, Monet style, you know, impressionist paintings, all in acrylic. I really enjoyed it. And as time went on, it got more and more frustrating because I wasn't able to produce the vision that I had. So I was kind of forced to go to the digital medium, and it's just been, you know, lucky that the technology has progressed with me. And yeah, I use the mouse just like you would a traditional paintbrush. I actually only use one finger on my left hand, so it's really time consuming. But the final outcome is like you said, pretty killer. I definitely take pride in it and put a lot of time into it. And yeah, I just keep refining. I use reference photos like a traditional painter would to get proportions right and stuff, but they're not photos at all, and they're not copies of photos. So everything is 100% original.
I was trying to find a way to ask that wouldn't sound like, if your answer was it's using photos, that it's cheating.
Right,
but
right.
It looks, I mean, some of these look like photos that have run through a filter because they're that accurate. I mean, they're that good.
Yeah, well, and it's difficult to distinguish the line because, you know, my process is similar to what a filter would do in 5 minutes, but it takes me 5 days, you know? So that line is definitely there, and that's kind of been my focus and goal to represent to our community that, you know, and I think that's just the struggle with any digital artist or digital painter. You know, people think because it's on the computer that it takes away from the validity of what you're doing. It's like, so.
I hope people don't think that. I wouldn't think it, because I don't think that the point of art is to produce a thing. I mean, that is the end result, but it's the story, it's the process of getting there, and it's the struggle and all that makes the art. It's not the finished thing. I mean, do you agree with that, or am I going?
Yeah, I would agree 100%. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely 99% of it. I know even like contemporary art, you know, in galleries and stuff, people see that and they say, you know, well, I could have done that, or why didn't I do that, you know? But it's the fact that you didn't. That's what distinguishes you from an artist or not an artist, I guess. But
well, so let me ask you this, AJ, because I asked Jessica Blinkhorn this. She's an artist as well. And I hope it isn't a total downer of a question, but I'm curious, you have a progressive affliction. What are you going to do when you lose more mobility?
Yeah, no, I definitely remember that interview with Jessica. That was one of the first badass projects or interviews I saw. And yeah, I mean, it's a realization that we have to live with. And I think that boils down to, you know, your message 100% is not letting, you know, having an excuse. So when that time comes, you know, I won't have an excuse. I'll figure out something I can do with my eyes, or, you know, maybe technology by then has progressed so much that I can talk into the computer, you know, so I'll find a way. And that really hits home with the badass project and your message is that, you know, don't have an excuse. If it happens, deal with it and move on. And I think that, you know, what makes a true badass, or, you know, now that I can call myself that now or not, but it's really determination and the motive. You know, you can't teach motivation, so I think you have to have that within you. And you know, a lot of your people that you highlight really have that. It's not that they're talented in, you know, just pure art, or they're the best stockbroker around. It's the fact that no matter what you want to do or what you're interested in, if you're motivated to do it, then you're going to be able to do it. So.
Right. I mean, one of the ways that Sean Stevenson put that is he said there's always a way, it just may not be the way that you anticipated.
For sure.
So let me ask you this. You normally when I talk to people for the project, people typically decline the idea that they're an inspiration, or the one that really gets on people's minds is on nerves is when people say they're a hero and they say, I'm not a hero. But whether or not you would say that about yourself, you were in a position where you were a disability ambassador for the MDA telethon, which is, you know, that's kind of a big deal. So you probably had to embrace the mantle of inspiration either way. And what have you thought of that?
Yeah, I did. And as a kid, you know, it really didn't hit home as much. You know, it was just like big lights, big city, put me in front of a camera and I'll make it happen. But, you know, as I got older, I don't really like to think of myself as an inspiration or anything like that. You know, it kind of, as with age, it gets different. If I can inspire somebody or motivate somebody, then by all means, I'm totally great with that. But I don't think I classify myself as an inspirational speaker, or I would say more of a motivational speaker. If I can motivate you, that's more of it. And I'm kind of experimenting with that, you know, down the road. That might be something that I take on tour, more of a motivational style stuff. But by all means, I wouldn't classify myself as a hero. I would totally agree with that.
There's a fine line between sort of the two meanings that if I can do it, anyone can do it. As to what that, because it can mean if I can do it and I have such, you know, like I'm so, it's because it can put you down. It can be like, because I'm so inferior, therefore you can do it. Or it can be like anybody can do it. You almost leave off the first part. So it seems like you're treading that line.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I quote that in one of my interviews. And that is 100% true. It's not the fact, like the first instance you gave, that, you know, I'm inferior or because of my limitations, if I can do it, you can do it. It's more the fact that if I can have the drive to do it, you know, that there's no reason you should have an excuse why you can't, you know, follow your dream or stop working the 9-to-5 job at McDonald's that you hate every day or whatever. You know, you need to find something that you're passionate about. And you know, money, that's a whole other topic, too. You know, it's like a starving artist, but the money shouldn't be what drives you. It should be what you're passionate about.
Right. Absolutely. And then one final thing to close on, AJ. I wasn't planning to ask this, but we talked about it just a little bit before we started recording.
Yeah.
And that was the idea. Now, we're behind on these interviews, so by the time your interview airs, maybe this will be old news, but we just ran... Yesterday, I ran the post announcing the sort of the positioning change on the Badass Project, and you said that you resonated with, or at least thought was funny, the idea of, I give the analogy, and I said that disabled people are not like a tiger in a zoo, although a lot of people kind of do that. They say, well, that's amazing that this person could do it, but it's a foreign species of amazing, sort of like if you said a tiger ran a marathon. You'd be like, wow, that tiger's crazy, but I can't relate to that tiger.
Right. No, I totally agree. Like I said, that post really, you know, hit home with me. And you even mentioned, you know, equality, and, you know, it's the true equality will be when, you know, we just see disabled people as somebody like our neighbor or whatever, you know, like that the disability really isn't there. And, you know, I like to make the analogy that the true equality will come when, if I make fun of your girlfriend or mom, you have no problem punching me in the face, you know, regardless of me being in a wheelchair and all. It's like, you know, that you're not going to feel bad. And even like Josh Blue opens his act with, you know, if you guys laugh at me, you realize you're all going to hell now. It's like, you know, that when that barrier is broken, we know that we have really reached where we want to be.
I don't think I can top that. I think I'm going to have to leave it. On that particular point, that poignant point.
Right on. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate the interview, Johnny. It was great talking to you, man, for sure. So.
Well, thank you very much. This has been Johnny B. Truant signing off with AJ Brockman for The Badass Project.